We this last month have been doing a series on the songs of Christmas. And we've looked at the song of Mary, the song of the angels, the song of Zechariah. And this reading, the song of Simeon, is the fourth and probably the least known song. But I would say it's probably the most relevant to our stressed out, helter-skelter world. It's a song about longing. It's a song about peace. And I don't know about you, what your longing is this Christmas. I love Christmas in the way that it's a way of longing. And if you have children around you, this countdown, this longing and pining is part of Christmas. And I don't know what your longing is, whether it's for a gift or whether it's for space to get out of Dodge and see something beautiful. We leave on the 26th to go to Yosemite, and I think every Californian should see Yosemite sometime before they die. And talking about seeing places before they die, there is a whole genre now that we call the bucket list genre. Genre of TV shows, 100 places you must see before you die. And places like the Great Wall of China and the Grand Canyon and the Victoria Falls are some of those places. I think Yosemite should be on that list. There's also a series called 100 Things You've Got to Do Before You Die. One of those is get a tattoo. The other is milk a cow. I've done one of those. There is a series, 50 Places You've Got to Eat Before You Die. And I've never seen that show, but I think I could be a host of that show myself. I love the stories of travel and eating. My top four, I think, would probably be a nasi padang from Singapore, a boerewors roll from Durban, South Africa. I would say churrascaria from Belo Horizonte in Brazil, and the Royal Burger from AMC Dine-In in Fullerton. I'm telling you, it's the best out there. The success of the bucket list genre tells us something important about our souls. It tells us that we have a fear of not draining life to the dregs, of getting to the end of our life and not having lived it to the full. And I think this whole thing of Instagram envy plays into this, where we see the places and the things and the food that our friends get to eat, visit, and enjoy, and we compare our dull, drab lives to their lives, and we go, I've got to do that. I've got to do that. And of course, it feeds something that our culture calls FOMO, the fear of missing out. We're plagued by the fear that we might be missing the best of what's out there. And into our bucket list lives, into our FOMO world, steps Simeon. Old, graying, waiting, longing Simeon. Simeon's song is a song of longing. And Simeon, in the midst of our fear of missing out world, he's a man who's ready to die. Got to learn something from Simeon. He says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. The word depart means a ship that is ready to set sail. And it's like Simeon's life has been like a ship in the harbor. He's wanting to set sail. And now, as he looks at Jesus, the baby in his arms, blessing it, he is ready for the ship of his life to set sail. Obviously, it's common for anyone to hold a baby in their arms and be filled with joy and hope. I love watching fathers with babies. They suddenly find vocabulary that they never knew they had. They say silly things without shame. Goo goo boo boo boo. You know, my snookums. You know, you just filled with love because that baby is not just cute. It reminds you of how things should be. You're filled with hope. And even if we're young, we want to hold our brother, our sister, baby brother and baby sister. They're so cute. Even their baby breath smells good. But you know, Simeon's joy and Simeon's hope wasn't wasn't the hope and joy of holding any cute baby, because the Spirit of God had told him that this was a very, very special baby. This was a baby conceived by the Spirit, born of a virgin, and this baby would bring salvation. Simeon was ready to go because his eyes had seen salvation. Now, I love the longing of Christmas. I am not a preacher, Christmas killjoy. Some preachers kind of come and they go, oh, you know, you longing for that gift under the tree, you must long for Jesus. I mean, that's true. But for me, the longing, even that Advent calendar where our kids try and scoop that chocolate out without ripping the cardboard, that is a shadow of a greater longing. These gifts under the tree, the gift of the chocolate, the gift of the meal, is a shadow of the greater gift, the gift of Jesus. And Jesus today wants to show us that these longings are good things, but they point us to the superior gift, the gift of Jesus, the supreme eternal life of Christ. I was sitting a couple of days ago in the mornings with my Christmas Carol channel, thank you, Google, and with my cup of coffee, and my son was sitting there, and he just said, Dad, I'm so excited for Christmas. I said, Levi, what are you excited about? And he said, you know, Christmas is, it's just so happy, even when there's sad things, the happiness covers over the sad things. And that's something of the story of Christmas. There's a longing for the happiness to cover over the sad things. Tolkien wrote of the coming of Jesus, that day when everything sad would come untrue. And Simeon's song invites us into this longing. He's saying, actually, we can long for all sorts of things, but the longing for Jesus will be a longing fulfilled. If we share Simeon's longing, we will be able to look back on our lives and say, there are no regrets. Life might have been tough. Life might have been very, very painful, but actually no regrets. It was worth it when we put our hope in Jesus, as we sang, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in Him tonight. What are you longing for tonight? What are you longing for? Can we step into Simeon's song and say, actually, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in you tonight? It's not just a song of longing, though. It's a song of peace. Now, I want to unpack this idea of peace, because he says, your servant can now depart in peace. Well, what kind of peace was he talking about? We've sung about peace. The Bible says that he was waiting for Israel's consolation. And consolation is a beautiful unpacking of what peace means. Consolation means comfort after conflict. That actually the fight is over. And Simeon knew from the Bible, from the Old Testament, that Israel had been in thousands of years worth of conflict, of fighting, of this vicious cycle of Israel would be going fine and then they'd forget God, they'd turn to their own way, and then hard things would happen and they'd turn back to God, they'd bring a sacrifice, God would be merciful, they would repent, He would forgive them, things would go well for a while and then they'd forget God and turn. And then things would go badly, and they'd remember, and they'd return, and they'd repent, they'd bring a sacrifice. God is merciful, He would forgive them, and it would be good, and then they'd forget. And there was this vicious cycle. And Simeon was waiting for the day of consolation when the fight would finally be over. And even at the beginning of this passage, we see Mary and Joseph coming to bring a sacrifice of two turtle doves, a peace offering. Yet Simeon knew that Messiah, the Lord's Christ, would come and He would die as a peace offering. It was God actually saying, your sacrifice of peace offering is not actually healing you from this vicious cycle, so I will give the sacrifice. A little bit like the mailman in the Jack story. Jack was wandering off, and so the mailman took out his own money, put it in the envelope, and paid the debt that Jack could not pay. That's the story of Jesus, where God says, actually, you are not going to be able to bring the sacrifice, the peace offering, so I will. And Jesus died, living the perfect life, dying the perfect death, and offering a peace offering, breaking us out of the vicious cycle of sin and repent. Break up, make up. Break up, make up. That is the peace that Jesus offers you and I tonight. Some of us tonight are even coming because we wanted to offer a peace offering, hoping that we can appease God. And tonight, the good news of great joy is that we can receive the peace offering of Jesus. We can hear through Jesus, it's okay, it's over, we can move on. I asked my daughter if I could tell the story. I don't want to shame her in any way. She said, it's absolutely fine. My daughter and son, youngest, share a room. They also share a shoe size. And they share taste in running shoes, in cleats, and in Vans. And that's a problem. And my son's favorite running shoes had gone missing. And they'd gone missing for a few weeks. And he was distraught. We were hunting high and low. And he was even starting to save up to replace them, these Nike running shoes. And it had been a few weeks. Eventually, my daughter came in tears to my wife and said, it was me. I've been secretly hiding them and wearing them. Here they are. You might think, oh, that's not a terrible thing. Not a terrible thing, but it was a terrible thing to her brother. And so we forgave her. There was some consequence, but we said, actually, one of the consequences is you have to go and own up to your brother. And this was difficult. She was embarrassed. She was crying. And she went to him and said, Levi, sorry, it was me. I've been hiding them and wearing them. And he ran to her, hugged her, and said, Sophie, it's over. We can move on. Beautiful. It's over. We can move on. This is the story of the gospel. Where actually there's a peace that brings comfort after conflict. Jesus has come to break us out of the cycle of rebellion and repenting. Rebellion and repenting. Where when we receive his sacrifice, actually we begin to walk with God. We begin to love him. We begin to follow him. It's the good news of great joy. Good news of great joy. And finally, Simeon lands his song with a little bit of a twist in the tail. Song moves a little bit to a minor key. And he says, behold, the child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul, Mary, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. We do dedications here at church where we have parents and children. And imagine if I came to parents with a baby and said, this baby is so cute, it's going to be so blessed, but brace yourself, it's going to cause you huge pain. You might not come back to church. But that's the reality of what Simeon said. He said, Mary, this child is blessed, but it's going to cause you huge pain. And he was talking about the fact that Mary would have to watch her son, this beautiful little boy, die one day. A sword will pierce your own soul. But this message was not just to Mary. This is part of the Christmas message that many of us miss. Where actually there's a peace that comes to us, a gift of peace, but there's also a piercing of the soul. Where Simeon is saying the peace that this child will bring is not a band-aid just to cover up everything and make it all nice. Actually, this child is going to come and like a surgeon, he wants to heal us very deeply. And sometimes that's going to feel painful. He was talking about the cost of following Jesus. He was talking about the sting of repentance. Sometimes repentance feels like a sword through our soul. And Simeon was saying, this child will bring you peace, but the way to get peace is to recognize that we cannot change ourselves, to recognize that our hearts are broken. And that's a little bit like a surgeon with a scalpel. It's a little bit like a mom or a dad putting antiseptic on a wound. It stings, but there's healing in that. And so we need to realize that Jesus doesn't come with peace like a band-aid. Jesus loves us enough, not just to change our circumstances, he wants to change our souls. And that will sometimes feel like a sword to the heart. And so my appeal to us tonight is to allow Jesus to reveal to us our souls. What are our souls longing for? What are our souls trusting in? What are our souls confiding in? Because sometimes the longing of our souls for things that aren't eternal will ultimately break them. They'll end up in a hollow hope. Jesus loves us enough to show that deep in our souls is a longing, not just to know the creation, but to know the Creator. See, our souls are eternal, and our souls will never be fully satisfied just with knowing the creation. And Jesus wants to reveal that the deepest longing of our souls is for the Creator. As C.S. Lewis said, if we find ourselves with the desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. So I invite you to enjoy that anticipation of the glittering gift beneath the tree. The get out of Dodge, get away to Yosemite or wherever. Enjoy it. Enjoy the food. This is an incredible time. But recognize that Jesus wants to reveal our deep need, our deep longing for the eternal. An eternal soul will never, never be fully satisfied with temporary things. Let's set our hope on Him, the joy of every longing heart. Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Let's stand together.